Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bishop.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And here to talk Caps hockey with you once again. To our listeners from the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the state of Maryland, have not forgotten about all you. I know I haven't mentioned that lately. We're starting the season, still getting our feet under us here. And here to help us out, as always, is the beautiful, wonderful mermaid memeing mentalist, the teaching prodigy from Fairfax County Public Schools. And apparently I need to go back to class and learn how to speak English.
Apparently.
Anna Knox.
Hello, Gil. How are you?
Hello. Apparently not as well as I ought to be, but I think we'll get around that.
Yeah, of course. I hear worse things throughout the day, so I'm immune to it. It's all good. So another week of Power Play Point Podcast and a couple of games to talk about. Some good, some bad.
Yep. Three games. We'll get to that. But yes, this is of course the continuing story of two Caps fans getting together, having drinks, inspired by true events at NHL rinks and beyond.
Right.
Especially those that involve our Washington Capitals. speaking of events, I understand, you mentioned this on our call-in show last week with our guest, Rochelle Wilcox, that you were going to be exposed. I mean, going to an expo.
Expo, yeah.
How was that?
I think people were thinking maybe I'd expose myself to Tom Wilson, but no, I don't need him throwing up. Anyways, so yes, thank God Rochelle told me, because it was crazy how you didn't see it. I didn't see it. It wasn't really advertised all that well, but or maybe it was and I just wasn't paying attention. But the Dulles Expo, which is maybe 5 miles from my house, is hosting this huge, you know, it was like 300 pro athletes, retired, you know, whatnot, and then also the Caps, and we're going to be there and featured on Friday evening. So
where was it? Where was this?
The Dulles Expo.
Well, from the pictures you showed on the Facebook page, it didn't look very Dulles at all.
Moving on.
Mr. Producer Jeffrey just shot me a very interesting look.
Oh, right. I'm probably high five, like, over the airwaves, Jeffrey, because he's probably like, dude, seriously?
No, more like he bit into a sour lemon just now.
Oh, yeah. All good. How long have you been sitting on that Dulles joke?
5 seconds.
Okay. Oh, good. Look at you. Just letting it all come out. Okay. So anyways, yes, I showed up on Friday and I had three people that I could afford, let's just be honest, to have a photo op with. And so it was, my picks were Devontae Smith-Pelly, because who wouldn't want to meet the guy?
Very cool.
Jacob Rana, my little number 13, who I adore.
Naturally.
And then, of course, my Tommy, you know, because come on now. I mean, like, let's just be real. Like, I couldn't be in the same area and not bless him with my presence.
Naturally.
Right. And then when I got there and there was, like, nobody there, it was actually kind of crazy. I was looking at the other options and was like, okay, what can I afford? And you know what? I'm a Kempney fan. Why not throw him in there, too? So I basically had four photo ops, and the place was, I mean, professional. They were fast. The guys were, Exactly who you wanted to meet is what you got. You know, humbled. They spoke. You didn't have a whole lot of time with them, so it's not like we could break down. You know, I'm like, Tom, you have my number. You know, you call anytime. But no, it was great. Like, they were all, and every one of them was like, thank you so much for coming. You know, it was great. It was just a very cool experience. So yeah, so it sort of redeemed the letdown from Hershey. One of these days I will get a picture of Stanley Cup. Like, it's on my bucket list and I'm going to do it. But this made up for the awful day of Hershey that was the week before. So yes, and Rochelle was there. Her pictures were fantastic. Her girlfriend Sunny was with her. Her pictures were fantastic. We had just a really great group of people around us. And then I met these two guys behind me and we wound up talking in line. And one of them, I think I accidentally said he was going to the casino night on Friday. I didn't mean that. I meant Monday. Saw those pictures. Everyone who's been posting about that, like, yay for you, because that looked like such a great night. And then Aubrey was one that's like, hey, was out by Virginia Beach and found out about the podcast and listened to it on the way back. So thank you, Aubrey, for listening and not being offended with the fuck word.
Way cool. You got us some new listeners, some new fans.
Right. I don't know if they're fans yet. But I can be kind of convincing, so, and
yes,
really
can.
Annoying, and really annoying. So I'm like, come on.
You can be annoying.
Yeah, are you being sarcastic? Are you?
No.
No. Yeah, totally annoying. I'm like, I'd be the first person to tell you. But you know what we haven't done, Gil, speaking of listeners and people joining on to the show, is to update everybody about where our numbers are.
Oh,
today.
Okay. Well, now that you mention it, yeah, we have a little bit of admin to go over. So, yes, as it turns out, according to Podbean, who is our provider, the latest and greatest information is that the Power Play Point podcast has passed the 600 follower mark. Thank you all so very much. And so exactly in exact numbers, it now stands at 619 as far as our total followers. And so, again, want to thank Podbean, our server provider, as well as, of course, you, the listeners, for making all that happen. This all started a few years ago, of course. I don't want to bore anybody with the details, but as a something of a hobby of mine, and I decided to take it to the next level, and that's why you hear the young lady beside me, who is done nothing but wonders for the show. I was being modest.
That's true.
Or trying to be. And I guess failing. We've also passed the 3,000 download mark. When not too long ago, we actually had 2,000 total downloads. So that's also great. Not to mention all the countless streams that we get. So
right.
Again, don't want to make too much of it. We're still kind of a humble niche show, I guess. But thank you all. Out there, everybody who listens, whether you stream or you download from wherever. I would like to add this one thing, though. I'm going to make a plea to any and all of our listeners, especially the ones who take in the show through Apple Podcasts. Okay, we are now officially with them at 3 total reviews. Pardon me. We need at least 2 more to become a podcast series that is recognized across the Apple network.
Okay.
Meaning that our logo will be displayed prominently, meaning that search engines will be able to find us a lot better, a lot easier, at least when it comes to Apple Podcasts and such, and it'll make other engines be able to find us a lot better and easier. So anybody listening, if you're catching our show through Apple Podcasts or iTunes, as it used to be called, please, please, please write us a 5-star review. or four star, but make it good. Make it good, please. Write us a kind review within Apple Podcasts and post it. And let them know how you think. And we need, like I said, we need at least a couple of them to kind of up our level, because that's only going to be good for the show. It's going to give us a lot of talked about exposure. Going to give us a bit more of that. Help make the show better in the long run.
Okay, I think I'm going to drink every time you use the word expose or exposure. I've decided. That's going to be our.
Is that going to be our drink word? Okay.
Yes.
I've got my bottle of shandy. So yeah. Is that going to be when either one of us says it?
Yeah, I'll find a way. I know you'll find a way to work it into a sentence, probably more than I will. But yeah, and then I'm thinking, as soon as you said that we're, you know, this little that we're a humbled show and podcast, and it's like I couldn't agree more. And then there's a side of me that's like, holy crap, Gil, maybe we'll be at Dallas Expo signing autographs and taking pictures next year.
Well, I don't know about signing autographs, but yeah, that would be one other benefit. No, seriously though, right. the bigger everything gets, you know.
Right. No, I'm totally fucking with you because that's so not what I would. I would be so uncomfortable with that. Although
you're uncomfortable.
Right. I know. Shocking, right?
We've gone from exposure to fucking.
That's true. That is true. But see, what? Fucking is just, yeah. So that kind of just blew up in my face because now I put that out there and now I'm like, oh my God, I never would. and it would never happen anyways. But I was just joking. I was like, oh, we could be headlining. We too could be at Dulles Expo being awesome and
very
and
much
taking
so
pictures.
And what I'm ultimately hoping for, actually, in all seriousness, is that we end up getting a media credential so we can go to all of the games as credentialed media mm-hmm. And see the games from the press box. And it's kind of what I'm hoping for. I mean, that's a pie in the sky to shoot for, I guess, but
all right.
That would be great. We were to obtain that, but that's a brass ring down the road to shoot for. So,
right. All right. Well, let's. But, we said before we were gonna minimize the chitty chat personal stuff. Although I didn't really hear much from you I didn't hear anything from you. But let's talk hockey.
This is true. This is true. And never much going on with me, to be honest, as far as personal stuff. It's the same old, you know, watching hockey, working, and whatnot. So, not much to talk about there. So,
I figured if there was something big, you would have told me. I would have heard about it, and so hence, like, you know, me seeing Tom Wilson again and having another picture with him was a big deal. It was newsworthy.
Well, I will say a couple quick things.
Oh boy. Are they about my pictures?
One is.
Oh God.
I noticed I don't know how it happened, but I mean, did you get like did you go to Dr. Evil or something and arrange for a mini me, because that's what I saw.
With Avery.
On the pictures. Yeah, I'm being facetious, of course.
I know.
I know it was Avery, your daughter.
No, I'm just saying I think it's funny because you are probably the fifth or sixth person that has said, oh my God, you know, I can't believe how much you guys look alike, and on and on and on. And then my mother's still here, and I was telling her, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, people say this, and she's like, really, I don't see it. Well, okay, thanks, Mom.
She's the only one that doesn't see it.
So it was good, but you know, she's a trooper. She had a really good time. I mean, she just rocked it, and you know, when she talked to the players, and then you know, she was able to give Tom Wilson the picture of of the two of them back in 2015. And, you know, so she kind of walked in and was a little bit nervous, but he's, I mean, for as big as he is, you know, he was very, you know, he wasn't intimidating for someone her size. And she just gave it to him. And he said, like, oh my God, he's like, I can't believe how big you are. And I thought, you know what? You could seriously be full of shit, but right now, like, my ovaries exploded with how awesome that was and how hot you are. I don't care. I was like, yeah. And then somebody was like, how come you're so much closer to Tom Wilson than the rest of the players, the pitchers? I was like, was it obvious? was it obvious? No, it was just the way we were, the way the photographer in the beginning put us, and Rana was very, like, a little bit more shell-shocked with stuff. So you could tell his body language was, every pitcher was like, arms folded in the front. And then Kempney, I'm like, Jesus, buddy, like, we could be in a hair ad. His hair is amazing. He's just, yeah, so it was cheesy and awesome. And, you know, DSP is like, yeah, he's the first one to put his arms out, like, get on in here. I'm like, I love you guys. So I understand that they do this three times a year. The Capitals do it three times a year. So I'll keep you posted.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I hope you do. And I'm glad that really made up for, at least in some small part, the experience at Hershey, because I really still feel bad.
Are you feely?
About that. Yeah, touchy feely. Yeah, yeah.
Are you exposing your true self?
Oh geez, here we go.
Drink. That's good stuff.
Yes, I'm exposing my true self to you.
Oh, a drink again. This episode is going to be like the Christmas Eve episode.
No, we're not going to go that. Not going to go that far.
That was good times.
I hope.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, Hershey's behind me. This was amazing. I want to talk hockey.
Sweet.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. So, all right. So, thanks to the. Well, no thanks, actually, to the scheduling idiots at NHL,
right.
At the NHL. The Caps managed to play three games in this past week since we left you last. And the first of which was a rematch against, guess who? Those Vegas Golden Knights.
Right.
That they defeated to win Lord Stanley's Cup, oh, I don't know, 3-4 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. And both teams, I thought, came out buzzing. It was a fun game to watch, I thought. But I think the Caps just wore them down as the game went on. Evgeny Kuznetsov opened the scoring late in the third with his third, or late in the first, rather, with his third of the year, assisted by Backstrom and Carlson. And then... the captain, Ovechkin, puts them up 2-0 halfway through the second. And of all people who brings them within one, former Cap Cody Eakin, unassisted,
right.
31 seconds later with a wraparound.
Yeah.
Making it 2-1 at the end of two. And then the Caps just exploded after that. They ran away with it. Backstrom got his first, 5:08 in the third with a tip-in on the power play. Then Riley Smith would get what would be their last goal. Pardon me. But not long after, a few minutes after, Ovechkin would get his fourth, assisted by Kuznetsov and Connolly. More about that line in a little bit. And then Oshie with the capper, the empty netter, with about a couple minutes left to seal it. Here are the vitals from the game. Caps were actually outshot slightly, 31-29. Little behind in the faceoff dot, 51%-49%. Power play was clicking like hell, 2 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Out-hit the Knights, who, like I said, they looked like they were running out of gas. In the third period, lots of block shots for the good guys. Only place where the Caps probably looked bad was the giveaways, 13-8 in favor of the Knights. But takeaways, the Caps were active, of course, and they like I keep saying over and over again, they had the more jump going away with this game. So they look pretty good. Now, this is what I was afraid of. I was afraid of, well, as it has been said by others, winning being a great deodorant. And as it turns out, the later results from the week, from the other two games, bear that out. I continue. So the next game, which was lucky for us, thank you fucking exposure wizards of scheduling at the NHL, jerks. The very next game was the very next night in Jersey, of all places, against Satan and his crew, the Devils. Well, I'm sure everybody remembers what happened there, but I'll cut to the chase. That was an 0-6 loss. The Caps looked like what Bella would leave on the sidewalk on a bad day if she had some bad food.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
It was bad. It was bad. It was bad. I will say this, if I can go back to the Knights game real quick.
Sure.
I thought that they all played a really well they played out like just a great physical game, and that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see 60 minutes of hockey, and I felt like that is the closest that we've seen away from all the pomp and circumstance of the banner and that hype and whatever else. I wanted to see them, you know, face to face with the Knights and giving it, you know, the 60 minutes that we all wanted to see. And I felt like they gave it. I thought my number one person on the ice that night was TJ Oshie. I mean, that guy took hits like no other and bounced up and was like, nope, bring it on. You know, I've got it. Absolutely. I've got it going. Mm-hmm. And I was totally impressed. You know, Holtby looked amazing. I know you said something about talking about the lines. I'm still on the fence with Connolly, to be honest. It's not that I don't like the guy. I just feel like there's something I need him to do consistently in the next couple of games to make it feel like he's never going to replace 43, but that he's worthy of being in that position. And right now I'm on the fence. I feel like I can't quite put my finger on it, that it's something. So I'm waiting to get, you know, on the Brett Connolly bandwagon and be like, hell yeah, number 10, like, let's go. And I'm rooting for you. And, you know, make me have humble pie by being like, hey, remember when you didn't think this guy was that great? It's not that he's not that great. I'm just not, I don't know. There's something I need to change with him. And the Jersey game, you know, we can only give excuses so much for the scheduling. It sucks. But you know what? These guys get paid a shit ton of money, and this is what they do for a living. So sometimes you're going to have these back-to-back games. And I get it. I mean, they probably rolled in at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to Jersey, you know, and then you're sleeping. Then you're like, oh my God, I'm, you know, up and on the ice and another game. And it is hardcore. I did not see the Devils coming out that strongly, and I sure as hell didn't see our team losing 6-0.
Well, it was their home opener, so I think that kind of lit a fire under them, and they're one of the teams. I did a little research, and not a whole lot of the so-called experts and pundits have them even making the playoffs like they did last year. They kind of feel like last year was a fluke, especially when you think about the fact that Taylor Hall on their team was the only one who broke. I think he was the only one who had more than 70 points on that team. Far and away, easily the best player on that team. So a lot of experts don't have them, you know, even being good enough to make the playoffs, let alone, you know, chasing the cup. And I think that's kind of lit a fire under them. And so they start the season at home against the defending cup champs. They were clearly ready to play the game, and clearly the Caps were exposed in being tired.
Right.
And not only
that. And Hall is number 9, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so please tell me.
He was all over the ice.
No. I will say, not pulling for them, but he's a freaking good hockey player. I mean, come on now. But the looping of Orlov, like the 9-on-9 is, I think, just literally what they're calling it, of him taking Hall down in this tremendous hit is probably one of the favorite things I've seen, like, in this week so far. You'll have to look it up. It's just Dmitry Orlov, Hall going at each other, and then it's crazy. And you're like, hell yeah. And it was a clean hit.
Yeah.
And whatever. But I think they're like, it's 9-on-9. I'm like, what? What are they saying? And then I like look over, I'm like, oh, duh. I'm like number 9 on number 9.
Number nine. Okay. No, but you're right. I think that was actually the one highlight, the one Caps highlight from that game was that hit. They could not do anything right to save their lives. Quick rundown of the scoring.
All right, and then I do want to bring it. I do have a question for you about that game.
Okay, Kyle Palmieri scores 2 in the first. They jump out to a 2-goal lead at the end of the first, and then barely 3 minutes into the second, with a snapshot, guess who? Former Cap Marcus Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
With his first of the year. And then it was a runaway from there. Third period, they were barely hanging on. 5:49, Coleman with his first of the year, assisted by the Reverend Lovejoy. It was just, I'm not even going to mention the other goals. It was just, as Matt Niskanen pointed out, they were skating in mud, and it was quite literal, at least to my eyes. And the stats bear out the same. 36-21, Devils shot advantage. Face-off performance, totally embarrassing. 62%-38%. Devils 1-for-4 in the power play. Caps 0-for-4. Penalties even. The one stat where the Caps, and we already talked about this, the one stat where the Caps outshined the Devils was hits, but that doesn't really count. You can't put anything in the net.
Right.
And Devils embarrassed the Caps as far as possession. 20 takeaways versus 10 for the Caps.
Right.
So just a horrible, horrible game to watch. And,
along with that, yes, it was a terrible game, but it was the first time we were able to expose Phoenix Copley to an NHL game.
Okay, hold on. I'm out of beer already.
God dang it.
I mean,
we've been doing this for a year. You know you're supposed to have, like, them ready to go. Come on now.
Yeah, well.
So I know that a lot of people are on the fence with Copley. I will say he's the one that I feel like, give him a chance, fans. I think the guy has so much potential. I think he had some sick saves. I'm saying that a couple of times fast. And I was impressed. What I wasn't impressed with was where was the defensive line. You know, where was his help? Like, where were the boys to be like, hey, guess what? I need you guys over here. Lacking. It sucked. It was really a shitty game. I agree. And Copley, I'm not throwing you under the bus because I think you have potential, and I think we're gonna see him this week, whether it's both against the Rangers and Florida, or if it's one or two. I know they don't like to give Holtby too much rest, but we'll see him again, and the fans need to support that, not just this one shit game that he had, because Braden Holtby had shit games last year. So
yeah, I don't think Copley had a bad game at all. I think he looked great in some spots. He might have given up maybe one soft one,
True.
But I don't think he had that bad a game at all. He looked pretty good to me for the most part. I mean, the guy, what more could you have asked? He stopped 30 of 36. Your defense has to bail you out. They didn't. In the second period, there was a good 90 seconds where the Caps couldn't even get the puck out of their own zone. And
right.
Embarrassingly enough, I think they were on a power play at the time, too, if I remember right. I'm not sure, but I don't know. But it was just awful. And if you want an example, you talk about a barometer to see how bad the Caps are playing as far as us drinking. Well, beyond that, if you go to the True Caps Fans Facebook room, okay, mentioned him before, Bernie Deal. Pay attention to his comments, okay? Every little thing the Caps are doing wrong, he focuses like a laser on that and makes a point of mentioning it. Follow his comments, okay? Follow his comments. That's in the True Caps Fans Facebook room. His name's Bernie Deal. He will point out every major thing the Caps are doing wrong and how they're doing it wrong. Okay, that's the perfection of it all. How they're doing it wrong, and he nails it every single time. So if you want to learn about the game of hockey, learn about how the game should be played, follow those comments. I urge you, because that you will learn something. I learn something every time.
Oh, he's I hats off. Like, yeah. You know, he is amazing to you know, and he's so quick with his comments on Facebook and his opinion that you can't not read it and not absolutely respect it. So I agree with you. Like, I think, you know, I know we only had him on once, and I know schedules are kind of crazy, but I think he has to know that we're both huge fans of his and his take on stuff. And I think, you know, when he talked about changing the lines and putting Vrana and bumping Connolly down, I was like, yes, like that's great. So, but let me ask you one quick question, because last night I did Sports on the Hill with Robbie and CP3. And one of the things that came up was a frustration with, in a game like the Devils or any game coming up, why are we not playing more of our younger players?
Do you think it would have changed?
Yeah. Don't you think the outcome would have changed had we had, and not even, you know, like not just age-wise, but like, I want to see more of Nathan Walker out there. You know, I like Jason Magna. I think that guy's going to be great. Like, I want to see more of that. I'm just not. And I'm like, why would you put these, you know, our top guys out there back to back, knowing that they're going to be tired, knowing that they're on the road, when we've got young, fresh legs that are needing some ice time?
Yeah. No, I agree. And that was one of the knocks on Barry Trotz last year, that he didn't do that, didn't play a lot of the younger guys. And so it was thought that Coach Reardon would bring that school of thought. Well, obviously that's not happening. So I'm just...
And not yet. And I'm just wondering if you felt like that would have been a good game. I mean, honestly, I don't think anybody would have put them in for Toronto. But I'm thinking going into Rangers... New York, Florida next week. Hell yeah, I want to see other guys out there. You know, especially against those two teams. It's like, here I was last week saying, oh, I'm not so worried about the Devils, and we got our asses handed to us. So I'm not going to say anything about the Rangers or the Panthers and be like, oh my God. But I do feel like it's early enough in the season and it's time to get some of those guys out there.
No, I agree. And I thought if we go back to the home opener, the banner raising game, Nathan Walker, I mentioned this to Mrs. Blueliner. Nathan Walker was a firebug out there. He was charging the net. He was scrappy. He was all over the offensive end of the ice. He showed me a little something. I thought he merited a little bit more, but I mean, we've got the brand. We've got a brand spanking new coaching staff, who obviously still feels like his size is just too much of a liability, and his speed doesn't negate that. And right. I don't know. I thought they would get out of that mentality, but it's not. But I agree. I think we need to see more of him. We need to see more of the younger guys. And you mentioned Connolly being a disappointment. So we're going to segue to that topic, in that he was actually replaced on the front line by Chandler Stephenson.
For the
next game. And as it turned out in that game, it didn't take very long for him to be effective.
18 seconds.
18 seconds, to be exact. Mm-hmm. 18 seconds, which matches his number easily enough. But he gets his first of the year in that game against Toronto with a wrister, assisted by his line mates for that game, Kuznetsov and the captain. And they hang on to that lead for the rest of the period. And then second period, Kasperi Kapanen ties it with his second of the year. One of the assists going to Austin Matthews, who's having a crazy first 2 weeks of the season.
He's a beast.
We don't need to say. Right. And then, this was probably, for me, my highlight of the week. Because... Wow, this next goal. Evgeny Kuznetsov with his fourth, assisted by Backstrom and Ovechkin on the power play. And I have to say it. This thing gave me shingles all over because he roofed it.
Oh, my God. It was... All right, that was cheesy. But...
Mr. Producer Jeffrey just got
it
that.
It was... Job. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Jeffrey. I'm just so used to it between... you and my husband and his playing with the food out at restaurants that I just have to shake my head. But anyways, I have watched this goal and I've watched it so many times and I absolutely love listening to the commentators being like, how the hell did that go? How is that even possible? And, you know, like there's a lot of buzz about Kuzi so far this season, and I love his reaction to it. You know, he's just like, you know, whatever. I don't want to hear about it. I don't care what people think about me. I just want to play the sport. I just want to be on the ice with my boys. I just want to win. And that's exactly what it is. There's no, you know, he's not out there for a limelight. He's not cocky. But, oh, my God, how many times did you watch that and be like, what? How did he even do that? God, mad skills. So impressed.
You know who he
is? Wish
we
could have won the game, but that's
yeah,
okay.
Well, we'll get to that. But you know who he is? He is Alexander Semin.
Tell me.
No, he is Alexander Semin. If he had bothered to put in any sort of effort, if he had bothered to remember that he gets paid to play professional hockey, and not lollygag around like a whining third grader, okay?
Right.
That's who Alexander Semin would have become if he had put any effort whatsoever in his career. Mm. But I digress.
A little bit. That's okay.
Well, all right. So moving on to the rest of the game highlights. Leafs tie it up. Some guy named Lindholm with his first of the year. Who's actually filling in as a nice replacement for the not-as-yet-signed William Nylander.
Mm-hmm.
That ties it up. Going into the third, and then Leafs get a power play from Josh Laivo, one of their other young stars, who is getting some love. So that brings them up 3-2 with 6:28. Into the third. So it's looking bad for our guys, and then guess who strikes with a minute and a half to go? It's Austin Matthews with his not his fourth, not his fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth, or even the ninth, his tenth goal of the year. That's a one. That's a one with a zero behind it with 2 weeks into the season, folks. That's a one with a zero. That's double digits after what? Four or five games he's played?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
We brought that up again last night, and Robbie was very quick to point out that, you know, that is the team that everybody is expecting to just, you know, take it away. And then CP3's like, listen, we're not talking about anybody other than the Caps, which I get. I'm like, you know, of course we are all wanting the back-to-back and whatnot. But when you look at the, you know, the teams as a whole, it's like they're, you know, Toronto's not a joke. I mean, they are going to come out hardcore this year. But that's, again, awesome hockey. Players that you're like, yeah, they, you know, you've got Tavares. It's just, it's fun. It's awesome. I think this last week, the Devils, but I thought it was good. I thought they looked good. Now I just want to see what's going to happen when we play the Rangers.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Well, okay. But a final note about the Toronto game. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know if it was the fact that they ran out of gas like a NASCAR in the final lap, or if they just didn't care. I don't know. But that whole third period.
Are you talking about the Capitals?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what happened in that third period, but that was not the same team that played the first 40 minutes.
Agreed.
So, I don't know what happened. And Lars Eller's comments afterwards kind of lent itself to the Caps maybe not taking this team seriously. Let me say this. That's not what he meant. Okay, what he meant was, hey, hockey media, stop making a big deal about over this team. They may look good on paper, but there are a number of teams that are contending for the cup. That's what he meant. So I just want to throw that out real quick. Okay, so Mr. Producer Jeffrey is saying we're coming up short on time here. So just going to wrap up the that Toronto game, that Toronto game, with some final stats here, thanks to the app. Okay, so stats by period, shots on goal by period bear out what I just said. Outshot them 10-9, then 9-5. Working 9-5.
And
14-8. 14-8 Toronto in the third. 14-8.
Yeah.
You cannot play the last 20 minutes like that.
Right. That was the stat that stood out the most to me when I looked at shots on goal and I was like, really? Come on. Like that was, you know, tossing in the towel, being like, whatever, let's just get home. You know, and it's like, no, I'm sorry. It's a 60-minute game. You need to finish all three periods, not just. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I feel like I will say this much, though, and I know you were talking about Reardon before, and that he has taken a step back, and I don't know if you read about what the players have been doing the last couple of days in practice, but he has given each one of them a puck, and they are going around the rink with said puck, excuse me for the food timer, and just having to go back to those basic handling skills. And I admire that guy for doing it, because you know what? I don't care if Stanley Cup or not. If you're not doing it on the ice this season, you need to go back to the basics.
Fundamentals. No, I agree. I agree. And any
you know, it's, any good don't get cocky.
True, true. Any good coach worth his salt will preach that. And that's their go-to. So yes, I did hear about that. And what I liked is I don't have all the details. Unfortunately, we don't have too much time to go into it. But he brought in some sort of specialist coach also, who's also working with Tom Wilson individually as well.
I need that job.
So, but yeah, he's not afraid to change things up. Not afraid to say, hey, we need to start, you know, going back to basics, thinking a little better, putting out a little better effort. So, yeah, I'm not too worried. It's certainly not time to panic yet.
God, no.
But let's put an eye towards the future, the immediate future, that is. We mentioned the Rangers. They play them tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop, at Cap 1. I'm not going to say this game should be a layup, but the Rangers aren't making anybody's list to even make the playoffs this year. They are that bad, and they're going to be that bad. But you also, you know what they're also going to have? They're going to have a lot of young legs running around the ice. So to take this team lightly would be a huge mistake. And then last game of the home, the quick homestand, Friday night, Florida against the Panthers. We mentioned them too. And the that's going to be a good test as well. I don't think they're a team to be taken lightly. And then a weekend break, and then first of next week, before we do the show again next week, is a game against Vancouver. Real quick, I think Rochelle said she was going to that game?
Yeah, but she was going in hopes of seeing Jay Beagle.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately,
how bad was that?
That's not gonna happen, unfortunately, because he did what he always does. He sacrifices the body, and maybe a slam dunk there, or whatever that was just now. What you heard was the sound of him breaking his arm. I shouldn't make a joke about
you
that.
You like that improv.
But that's actually,
you shouldn't.
That's actually what happened, is what he actually blocked a shot breaking his arm. So,
I don't think he broke it, but I think it, but either way, it was painful. My heart breaks for him. I don't care what team he's on. He was forever be a Caps, forever be 83. But as far as I know, she's, you know, obviously she's still going to go, but I was like, oh man, but she was so excited to see Biggs. And you never know. You could still show up to practice if they do the same thing that we do at MedStar and be like, hey, get an autograph. I have no idea what other fans do for NHL hockey. So, yeah, but we'll catch up with her another time. And then also, it seems like we're getting some people who would really love to call in. Lisa was one of them. I would love to have her on at some point. And then I think I mentioned that Donnie was going to call in about Hershey Bears updates. So that's kind of fun things to think about in the future, not – obviously, we're not going to do it every episode.
Trust me, we will have a lot more call-in shows. We're going to get as many people involved as we can. One of my goals is to have the most interactive and intuitive, as well as intuitive, of course, Caps fans shows, podcasts. So yeah, we're not going to be like these other shows that just have experts on there spouting their opinions. We want to hear from everybody. We want to hear from anybody. It doesn't matter. One of our mottos is, doesn't matter if you're an old or new fan, we've got something for you. We want to hear from you. So doesn't matter how long you follow from the team, we definitely want to hear from you. So we're going to have lots more call-in shows as we go throughout the year. So, yes, thank you, Anna, for mentioning that.
That's not really our motto. We'll have to change that up a little bit.
Well, I'm just throwing that out there, like I always do.
All right.
Okay, so Mr. Producer
Jeffrey. Well, thank you, Jeffrey, for taking the time.
Is waving his arms at me, trying to do his best impression of someone in flight, and saying, we're just about out of time here. We've gone through the preview of next three games. Please watch them. The Vancouver game will be a West Coast game, unfortunately, so a lot of us may not catch that, but those are the next three games that we'll have, and then, of course, we'll be on next Tuesday with our usual discussion and recap. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. So, Anna, did you have any other additional mentions you wanted to put out there, final thoughts?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so that being said, for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off with one last mush mouth, and reminding you that you should only buy snow tires in winter, because if you buy them in any other season, they're sure to melt. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps!
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.